Storm. What does that word conjure up in your mind? Something along the lines of lashing rains and howling winds? We'll be having a look at that in the context of this current 13-day period. Even though the hazy, lazy days of summer may find you soaking up the sun instead of getting out your rain gear. Welcome to episode 10 of Navigating the Energies of Life, a podcast that looks at how the energies of the Maya calendar are at work in the world and how they apply to daily lives. This is Marguerite Paquin, continuing with the podcast to accompany my horoscope blog that tracks the days of this calendar. The blog has been going for many years, and my research in this field has spanned several decades. The emphasis for both the blog and the podcast is on connections between the energies of this calendar and events going on in the world, and ways in which these energies relate to personal lives. As shown in my blog and discussed on other podcasts, the core of this system is a cycle of 260 days that involves the interconnecting and cycling of 20 unique solar forces in combination with 13 unique numerical powers to create a count of days called a Dzogchen. Each of the 260 days in the cycle is unique, and every person carries the energetic imprint of the forces that were in play at the time of their birth. Those energies greatly influence how people see the world and interact within it. Both the blog and this podcast follow the Mesoamerican calendrical tradition of timekeeping involving tresinas, 13-day periods, each of which has a particular theme that ties in with the initiating energy, the first day, of whatever tresina we happen to be in. This is a system that involves the continuous cycling of these energies over both short and long periods of time. So the 13 numerical forces keep cycling, with these numerical powers going from 1 to 13 and then back to 1 again, 1 to 13, then 1 to 13, on and on in combination with the 20 days that also keep cycling. So it takes 260 days to go through one complete Dzogchen cycle. For anyone new to this, you can find more information in my Maya Calendar Arts website and also in episode 1 of the podcast. Just before we look at this Dracaena's stormy theme, let's have a quick look at some of the events in the Kimi Dracaena that finished last Friday. That was a powerful energy that likes to bring everything back to basics, back to source, so to speak, tying in with spiritual foundations. And we found that commemoration events associated with the death of U.S. Congressman and civil rights hero John Lewis took place throughout all of that Kimi Dracaena, spanning all 13 days from the candlelight vigil near the beginning of the Dracaena, just after his death was announced, to the various memorials, to his funeral itself. Amazingly, another giant of the U.S. civil rights movement also died during this period. That was Cordy Tyndall Vivian, known as C.T. Vivian, who was a close friend and lieutenant of Martin Luther King Jr., who referred to him as the greatest preacher who ever lived. Like John Lewis, C.T. had received the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Obama for his work in the civil rights movement. He died 13 days before his 96th birthday, on the very day that John Lewis died. As it happened, the funeral for John Lewis was postponed slightly so that each funeral could be given its due attention. But it was intriguing to see how the timing worked out. C.T.'s funeral took place on the sixth day of that Dracaena. And then 3 days later came John Lewis's final crossing ceremony in Alabama, when his flag-draped casket was taken across the rose petal-strewn Edmund Pettus Bridge in Alabama. In an open carriage drawn by two horses, prior to his lying in state at the Alabama State Capitol. As the carriage crossed the bridge, it stopped at the place where John Lewis almost lost his life in 1965, on Bloody Sunday, when he was beaten by state troopers when he and other demonstrators tried to cross the bridge during a major civil rights movement march. By highlighting racial injustice, their march contributed to the passage of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Given all of John Lewis's contributions to this cause, there have been calls to rename that bridge after him. After that final crossing and commemoration in Alabama, there was his lying in state at the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C., where a double rainbow appeared. And then 2 days later, the private ceremony at Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, with eulogies given by former Presidents Bush, Clinton, and Obama, followed by his internment, which took place on the last day of the Tresina, which was 13 Etznab, which was also his Maya calendar birth energy. So both his birth and his internment were under the influence of precisely the same energy, a stunning conclusion to a very heroic life. The time span from his birth to his being laid to rest was exactly 113 Zolkin cycles, or 113 cycles of 260 days. As it happened, Olivia de Havilland, seen as the last major surviving star from the golden age of Hollywood and the oldest living Academy Award winner, died during the Kimi Tresina as well. She lived to be 104. Outliving all the other stars from Gone with the Wind. So it was both a poignant and dramatic conclusion to the Kimi Tresina. And then we came to this current one, the Kawak Tresina, which began on Friday, the last day of July. As highlighted in my blog, this is a strong water-oriented time frame, a period seen in ancient lore as being under the auspices of Tlaloc, the Aztec god of rain, who is known as Xoc to the Maya. Xoc was seen as a deity who often announced his presence in dramatic, sometimes highly tempestuous ways. He's often depicted carrying a lightning axe that he uses to strike the clouds as he creates thunder and brings forth the life-giving rains that are needed to assure the growth of crops. What was particularly amusing this time was that just as I was posting my blog in the wee hours of Friday morning, just as the Kawak Tresina was coming in, I began hearing a rumbling. The day before had been quite warm, and I wasn't really expecting rain. Nevertheless, I was writing about the Kawak Tresina, which has this storm theme, so I was open to the possibility, especially with Xoc being the traditional patron energy and also the energy aligned with the first day of the time frame. So the calendar was telling me that one Kawak was coming in, and the Kawak Tresina was beginning, but I was still wondering how it might manifest. And then, almost magically, right on cue, there it was, unmistakably, the sound of thunder. At first, the rumbling was off in the distance, but over the next hour or so, the sound got louder and louder until it seemed to be overhead. So I said hello to Xoc, and then, I kid you not, the lightning started, and it was incredible. huge flashes, the likes of which I'd never seen before. The neighborhood out there was sound asleep, missing the entire show, but it went on and on for quite some time. And I found out later that more than 400 lightning strikes were recorded. So it was a most dramatic opening to this time frame, and I was happy to have still been awake so I could experience it. After I got a little shut-eye, I then found out that a hurricane warning had just been announced for Florida as Category 1 Hurricane Isaias was spinning out near the Bahamas. It has downgraded a bit to tropical storm status and is now hammering the east coast of Florida with strong winds and rain. The predictions show that it will head up northwards along the eastern seaboard all the way into Canada. So that will play out during much of this storm-related time frame. And this is the kind of activity that is very, very much in line with the nature of this Trisena, with 2005 being one of the most dramatic examples of what can happen. That year, this Trisena came in mid-August, and the first day, one Kawak brought severe storms to Ontario that caused over $100 million in damage. At the same time, some two dozen tornadoes ripped through Wisconsin, destroying about 80 homes across that state and damaging hundreds of others. And that was just the beginning. By the fifth day, which is 5 Ok Bal, Hurricane Katrina was in the process of forming, which intensified quite rapidly. It made landfall in Florida a couple of days later before heading back into the Gulf of Mexico, where it picked up strength before careening towards Louisiana and Mississippi. It hit New Orleans on 11 Muluk, which is an intense change-oriented water-related energy. So there we have change-oriented water in the storm Trisena, and we know what happened to New Orleans. Torrential rains, massive flooding, and an enormous amount of damage, in many cases caused by breaches in the canals, with an overall damage estimate of some $70 billion and over 1,400 fatalities. And getting back to that echoing idea that I have often spoken about, during the last appearance of this 11 Muluk watery energy last November, storms of what were called biblical proportions swept through France, Greece, and Italy, triggering landslides, flash floods, and blackouts. And often it is the first day of this time frame that either signals a storm or brings it on, as it did in 2014, when a massive storm cloud rolled in like a huge wave that cast a dark shadow over Sydney, Australia. I remember seeing it. It looked so ominous. And dumped 30 millimeters of rain in just 30 minutes. Buildings shook from the force of the rain, and social media was awash with imagery that many referred to as apocalyptic. And whether it's the first day or sometime during the Trisena, there have been many such events under the influence of this energy sequence. Often it's rain or storm-oriented, bringing such things as hurricanes or torrential rains or even tornadoes, but sometimes it can be other kinds of storms such as firestorms, and sometimes both, as is happening right now with the triggering of another large wildfire in Southern California on Tuahau, the sun-oriented second day of this current time period. And as of this third day, which is the day after, thousands of people east of Los Angeles are now under evacuation orders as this fire continues to explode. So there's a fire version of storm. Not good at all. But also not always bad. Kawak itself is highly aligned with those energies associated with Shag, often manifesting as a catalytic energy that can bring heavy weather events, but it also has the potential to bring water blessings that can purify and transform, particularly when manifesting as a birth energy. Diana, Princess of Wales, for example, who was born under the influence of one Kawak, the first day of this time frame, became well known for her charitable work and for the various ways in which she raised awareness about important causes, such as animal protection and the need for the removal of landmines. As we know, she made regular appearances at hospitals, schools, and other such facilities. Stephen Lee, the director of the UK Institute of Charity Fundraising Managers, said that Diana's overall effect on charity is probably more significant than any other person's in the 20th century. Unfortunately, the media attention that was constantly focused on her became so overwhelming that it led to her tragic death in 1997, which triggered torrents of tears as people left tens of thousands of flower bouquets and other offerings outside Kensington Palace and lined the streets at the time of her funeral. The second day of this Trisina Saturday was to Ahau, a dynamic type of energy aligned with the full sun, full power, and the idea of enlightenment, with emphasis on enlightenment. We could see some of that on Saturday in the Emancipation Day marches in Toronto and Vancouver, as demonstrators marked the 186th anniversary of the end of slavery in the UK and Canada, showing support for the Black Lives Matter movement. That was the Maya birth energy of Rosa Parks, who became known as the First Lady of Civil Rights and the mother of the freedom movement, for her pivotal role at the time of the Montgomery bus boycott in 1955, when she refused to give up her seat to a white passenger because the whites only section of the bus was filled. She was arrested for civil disobedience, but became an international icon of resistance to racial segregation. Eventually, she received the Presidential Medal of Freedom for the work she did in the struggle for social justice. And after her death in 2005, she became the first woman to lie in honor in the Capitol Rotunda. Ecologist Rachel Carson was also born under this Tu Ahau influence. She was a writer and scientist who focused on helping people to gain greater awareness about the wonders of the natural world and challenged many conventional agricultural practices that involved the use of pesticides. Her 1962 book called Silent Spring became one of the most highly influential books in the modern environmental movement. In her book called The Sense of Wonder, she wrote, quote, "A child's world is fresh and new and beautiful, full of wonder and excitement. It is our misfortune that for most of us, that clear-eyed vision, that true instinct for what is beautiful and awe-inspiring is dimmed and even lost before we reach adulthood. If I had influence with the good fairy who is supposed to preside over the christening of all children, I should ask that her gift to each child in the world be a sense of wonder, so indestructible that it would last throughout life as an unfailing antidote against the boredom and disenchantment of later year, the alienation from the sources of our strength, unquote. And speaking of alienation, by today's 3 Imish, the global number of COVID-19 cases is now well over 18 million, with the numbers continuing to rapidly escalate. The U.S. is now close to 5 million cases, averaging over 1,000 deaths a day. At this rate, there could be over 170,000 deaths in that country before this Tresina is over, and the global number of cases is likely to jump to well over 21 million. With this being the COVAX Tresina, it is possible that the speed of escalation could increase even more. Hopefully not, but the trajectory in many areas is not looking good. South Africa has just topped 500,000. I am recording this podcast on 3 Imish, which is an activation energy associated with birth and the realm of all potential, and often oriented to the cosmos itself, in the sense that a lot of space-related events seem to happen under this influence. At this time, NASA astronauts Doug Hurley and Bob Behnken are being welcomed back to Earth after almost 64 days in space. Their journey to the International Space Station and back again aboard the SpaceX Crew Dragon is being heralded as a major achievement, since this was the first crewed vehicle to fly from the U.S. since the retirement of the space shuttle 9 years ago. As it happens, Elon Musk, the founder of SpaceX, was born on the 10th day of this time period, which is itself aligned with the stars, as that is 10 Lemat, a foundational type of energy working with Lemat, which the Maya saw as star, a heralding or signaling type of force. And Elon does love to be a herald. He does love to get people's attention, as when he launched a Tesla Roadster into space as part of a Falcon Heavy's test flight a couple of years ago. So this is 10 Lemat, working with the catalytic nature of the COVAX Tresina. And it seems there is really no end to the possibilities. In addition to being the founder and chief designer of SpaceX, he was the founder of PayPal, the co-founder of Tesla, and the founder or co-founder of several other large companies. And he is a big, big dreamer. Not only is he working to send humans to Mars, but he has said that he wants to establish a colony on Mars by 2040. And for all that, he's also a little quirky, often tweeting out bizarre, even eye-rolling ideas, as he did on Friday, 1 COVAX, when he tweeted that aliens built the pyramids, prompting Egypt's Minister of International Cooperation to invite him to come to Egypt and explore for himself how the pyramids were actually built. Another topic that we could spend a long time talking about, but this is a good reminder for anyone born on a Lemat day. If you are a herald like this, make sure that what you're heralding is accurate, or you could be seen as spreading a lot of misinformation. It seems noteworthy that there seems to be some similarities between Elon Musk and the flamboyant business mogul Howard Hughes, who was not only a highly influential pioneering engineer and designer in the aviation industry and founder of multiple corporations, but also one of the world's wealthiest men and one of the world's most eccentric. He was born on 3 Emish. So their birth energies are only 7 days apart, different years, but in terms of the energies of this calendar, both under the catalytic influence of this Kawak Trisina. Moving along, August 3rd is for Ik, representing the sun aligned with the number 4, in conjunction with wind, breath, and spirit. The legendary Tony Bennett turns 94 on this day. This is not his Maya birthday, but it's still a nice tie-in for his birthday. Not only is he one of America's most enduring entertainers, but he's also an accomplished artist, a painter. He was also born on a Lamat day, 3 Lamat, in the last Trisina, activating herald or activating star, and that is certainly what he is. 50 years ago, he recorded "The Best Is Yet to Come," which definitely has panned out for him. The following few days take us into the middle of this Kawak Trisina, which was the zone in the past where we have seen large weather systems like Katrina form. But the very middle point is 7 Chikchan, which is a self-generating type of energy associated with life force, which was seen traditionally as having the potential to provide conditions that are very favorable. The Aztec goddess of agriculture, who is known as Chicomecuatl, is associated with this energy. So it is aligned with the idea of bringing forth nourishment. In 1944, the greatest amphibious assault in history, known as D-Day, took place under this influence, marking the beginning of European liberation. At this present time, we will be reminded of something far different, however, as this will be the 75th Gregorian anniversary of the Hiroshima bomb attack in 1945. A commemoration ceremony will take place at the Hiroshima Peace Memorial Park, the location of one of the few buildings left standing near Ground Zero. And in my website, I included a notation about the Green Legacy Hiroshima Tree Initiative, which is a project that invites people to spread worldwide the seeds and saplings of trees that survived Hiroshima's atomic bomb attack, to spread the message of peace and hope. The 75th anniversary of the Nagasaki bombing attack by the U.S. in 1945 will be commemorated 3 days later. Let's not forget that an estimated 129,000 to 226,000 people were killed as a result of the bombings of those two Japanese cities. That would be 10 Lamat, that heralding energy that I just mentioned. And at this time, this coincides with the UN's International Day of the World's Indigenous Peoples, with this year's theme being COVID-19 and Indigenous Peoples' Resilience. Statistics tell us that there are an estimated 370 million Indigenous people in the world, living across 90 countries. They make up less than 5% of the world's population, but account for 15% of the poorest. The UN's site points out that Indigenous peoples are nearly 3 times as likely to be living in extreme poverty compared to their non-Indigenous counterparts. They speak an overwhelming majority of the world's estimated 7,000 languages and represent 5,000 different cultures. This is a rich, rich heritage that desperately needs protection. And as the UN tells us, at this time with the spread of this pandemic, it's more important than ever to safeguard Indigenous peoples and their knowledge. Their territories are home to 80% of the world's biodiversity, and much can be learned from them about how to live in harmony with the natural world, to not only reduce the risk of future pandemics, but to reduce the risk of further environmental destruction. It was tragic to see that in May, the Navajo Nation in the U.S. surpassed New York and New Jersey for having the highest per capita infection rate in the U.S. for COVID-19. They now have the strictest stay-home orders in the country in force, but also lack many of the healthcare resources needed to tackle such a situation. The need for extreme care in this regard applies to many regions, such as on Haida Gwaii, the beautiful archipelago off the northern Pacific coast. The devastation of that region by disease not all that long ago is still very much a part of the memory of the inhabitants of those islands. At the time of first contact with Europeans in 1774, the population was roughly 30,000 people. But it is estimated that 90% of the population died during the 1800s from smallpox alone. And there was also devastation from other diseases such as typhoid, measles, and syphilis. By 1900, only about 350 people remained. Fortunately, the population has since increased, but Haida Gwaii is now under a state of emergency with strict safety measures in place. And until this pandemic is under control, no one is allowed to enter their territories unless they live there. Then we come to 11 Muluk, that intense, change-oriented water energy that brought Hurricane Katrina to New Orleans. We won't know until we get there as to whether or not some stormy conditions will come in at this time, but as always, there are many different ways in which these energies can manifest. This day marks five cycles, or 1,300 days, since President Obama's last press conference during his term as U.S. president, which triggered floods of tears for many. Today, after 1,300 days of nauseating news coming from the White House, just hearing Obama speak again is enough to make one weep. The reminder that at one time there was someone leading that country who was intelligent, visionary, courteous, and respected, and respectful is enough to make one sob in remembrance for what has been missing for nearly four long, agonizing years. He was and is a lion, and this is World Lion Day. Have a look at the World Lion Day website for their photo gallery of beautiful images of these magnificent creatures, where they also provide information on how we can help to protect them. And speaking of animal protection, World Elephant Day comes in on the final day of this Dracaena, which will be August 12th. On that website, there is an article titled 101 Elephants, written by Patricia Sims, the co-founder of World Elephant Day, where she talks about the Moving Giants Elephant Conservation Initiative, which was set up to find a new home for 200 wild African elephants in South Africa that didn't have enough space to roam freely. So this initiative found a way to translocate the elephants some 1,700 kilometers, some 1,000 miles, from their original location to what has been called an elephant paradise in Mozambique. What was impressive, in addition to finding a larger habitat for these elephants, is that those carrying out the project have been working to make the move as stress-free as possible for the elephants. They made every effort to transport family groups together, ensuring matriarchs, moms, and babies were moved as quickly as possible. Over the past few decades, some impressive work has been done by many to raise consciousness about the social and emotional needs of animals. It has been found that, like so many other species, elephants too have definite social and emotional needs. They form strong family and social bonds and grieve whenever there is a loss within their groups. So the impact of separating family members would be traumatic. More about this can be seen on the World Elephant Day site or at movinggiants.org, where there are a number of videos. This final day of the Trisena, August 12th, will be 13 Xuan, transformational play or transformational creativity. The Maya birth energy of Rudolf Steiner, the great philosopher and founder of a field of interest called anthroposophy, which he has described as a path of knowledge to guide the spiritual in the human being to the spiritual in the universe. Steiner's works touch on a mind-boggling array of fields. And here we find a mystery, as it seems that no one can be absolutely sure of the date of his birth. Apparently, he was born small and sickly and rushed over for a quick baptism on what would have been the last day of this Trisena in 1861. But some say that Steiner had commented on his birth being a couple of days earlier, and yet others say that he never spoke of it. So we have to keep that in mind. I find it amusing that on RudolfSteinerWeb.com, it's mentioned that, quote, "There is nothing auspicious about Rudolf Steiner's birth in 1861, nothing that indicated that he was destined to be profoundly creative," unquote. And yet, that is not what the Maya calendar would indicate. If he was born, say, a couple of days before, as many believe, his birth energy would have been 11 Muluk, that same powerful force that I spoke about relating to Hurricane Katrina. So that would be an intense water-oriented force, which could translate not only as change related to water, as we saw with Katrina, but also as inspirational water, which would be much more in line with Steiner and his works. And if he was born on the day of his baptism, his birth energy would have been 13 Xuan, which could translate as transformational creativity, and intensely creative energy that is aligned with the idea of weaving together the threads, so to speak, of information that comes from all sorts of different sources. Either one of these would fit, but personally I would lean towards the latter, because his work was so vast and touched on so many different fields, many of which involve the arts. If you go to that RudolfSteinerWeb.com website, you will see topics such as Waldorf education, which he founded, anthroposophy, biodynamic agriculture, religion, science, medicine, art, eurythmy to do with sound and gesture, therapeutic speech, and many other categories of influence that he was involved with. Apparently, there are 380 volumes of his published works and lectures. We don't have time here to do anything but barely touch the surface, but since medicine is the topic of interest these days, I will just draw your attention to Steiner's contributions in this regard, because his anthroposophical work provided some important extensions to conventional approaches. By bringing in consideration for non-physical or spiritual aspects to make medical practices much more holistic. The idea was to tap into deeper aspects of the human being, beyond just the physical, and it's to stimulate the natural healing forces in the patient. In my book, Manual for the Soul, I discuss briefly how some of these same ideas can even be found in ancient Mesoamerican thought. So this is reflective of the kind of deep perennial philosophy that Steiner drew from. There are all sorts of wonderful quotes that can be found in his works, including these. Quote, "Love starts when we push aside our ego and make room for someone else," unquote. And, quote, "If we do not believe within ourselves this deeply rooted feeling that there is something higher than ourselves, we shall never find the strength to evolve into something higher," unquote. And this, written in 1919, which could so well apply to today's world. Quote, "Tedium is so widespread nowadays. I have known numbers of people who find it irksome to acquaint themselves, for example, with banking procedure or the stock exchange or single or double entry bookkeeping. But that is never the right attitude. It simply means that the point has not been discovered where the thing burns with interest. Once this point is reached, even a dry cash book can become just as interesting as Schiller's Maid of Orleans, or Shakespeare's Hamlet, or anything else, even Raphael's Sistine Madonna. It's only a question of finding the point at which every single thing in life becomes interesting." Unquote. And one more. "Someday," he said, "when I have grown sufficiently, I shall attain that which I am destined to attain." A quote that ties in well with the Maya calendar, since it can sometimes take a while before the calling inside a person really begins to make itself known. But many do feel it early, and when they do, and if they listen, that calling can bring forth wonderful things, as it did with Rudolf Steiner. As always, there is so much more that can be said about all this, but there are time constraints, so I will just provide the reminder that more about the specific days and the nature of the energies associated with this time frame can be found in my Maya Count of Days Horoscope blog. If you happen to be listening to this from somewhere other than my website, you can find this blog by going to whitepoppress.ca and clicking on Horoscope Blog, or going to mayacalendararts.com and clicking on Horoscope Blog. That site includes earlier podcasts, other information on Maya Calendrix, some posts that I've written on topics such as birth dates and energy cycling, and some notes about things that I offer, such as coaching services and personalized artworks. For anyone who might like some assistance directly from me in terms of exploring how these energies may work within your own lives, there are a number of options outlined on that Maya Calendar Arts site. There are many different ways in which to work with these energies, both through looking at core influences and also at energetic allies, but this can only be done on a one-to-one basis. Feel free, if you wish, to contact me if you have any questions. Contact information is in the websites, as well as information on subscribing to the Horoscope Blog. Okay, just to finish up, A few days ago, I watched the old classic Rodgers and Hammerstein musical Carousel. The plotline is definitely dated, but the music endures, which is what makes it a classic. One of the most enduring songs is You'll Never Walk Alone, which starts off with the lyrics, "When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark." And so on. This song became so popular that is now sung by football, that is soccer clubs, the world over, where it is sung by supporters of the game. But it's also become the anthem of support for medical staff, first responders, and those under quarantine in many parts of the UK and Europe. Its hopeful lyrics tell us to walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, with hope in your heart. A good thing to keep in mind as we go through this storm-related time frame and beyond. Walk on, walk on. Until next time, love to you all.